I will be reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 9, through chapter 12, verse 8. The reading can be found in the Pew Bible on page 1047. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, and the desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless.
Ecclesiastes is the kind of wisdom literature that says, not in these exact words, but in the teaching of the book, it says something like, the wise person is much better off than the foolish person, but they both die. The diligent person is better off than the lazy person, but they both die. Ultimately, Solomon the preacher is not discouraging wisdom nor diligence, not discouraging a lot of other things. What he's doing is encouraging them in light of our finite existence in a fallen world. He says, be wise. And part of being wise is living this life with the idea that it's temporal and brief. He's saying, be a good worker and work in light of the temporal and brief existence in this under the sun world. One might conclude from those things that he's kind of a pessimistic fellow. But you would be wrong. He's realistic for sure. He tells us that our lives are finite and full of limitations. He tells us we're mortals. He tells us our tendency is to chase after things that will never fulfill us, things we'll never attain. He tells us we must not ignore death. We must thus embrace life in the present. But interestingly enough, all through this book, he encourages God's people to rejoice. We could say that one of the main themes in the book of Ecclesiastes is that the only way to find real joy as a finite and fallen human being is to live out our lives before God, to recognize our hope lies solely in His hands, to understand that in this fallen world of sin, it is in God we find joy, in God we find peace, in God we find satisfaction. Now, in light of the complete revelation of Scripture, in light of the gospel, we recognize that a greater than Solomon came. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life we couldn't live, and died on the cross in place of sinners, and rose again the third day. And we can have this wonderful, wonderful joy in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we understand that in Ecclesiastes, as Solomon prescribes the fear of the Lord, for us it means embracing all that Christ is for us. He's our hope, our peace, our fullness. But right here in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon preaches joy. Ecclesiastes 3:22, "So I saw that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot." Ecclesiastes 5:19, "Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God." Ecclesiastes 11:8, "If a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many." Ecclesiastes 2:26, "For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God." Ecclesiastes 5:20, "For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart." I love that. God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. Ecclesiastes 8:15, "And I commend joy, for man has no good thing under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun." Ecclesiastes 9:7, "Go, eat your bread in joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do." And that brings us to our text, verse number 9. "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth." So this morning we want to see five principles, if you will, concerning youthful joy from Ecclesiastes 11:9 down through chapter 12 and verse number 8. And the first one is this: God doesn't simply give us permission to enjoy life, but he commands it. And, it's a long point, and it should start in one's youth. God doesn't simply say, "Okay, I'm going to let you enjoy life." He says, "No, enjoy life and enjoy it while you're young," or start, I should say, better, start when you're young. So in verse number 9, "Rejoice, O young man," and that includes young women as well, "in your youth," he's saying, hey, that's the time to find joy. That's the time to know joy. Verses 9 and 10 point to a full life during one's youth. You don't have to wait until you're middle-aged or an old person to enjoy life in God. Now, verse 8 says, "If a person live many years, let him rejoice in them all." So the section we're in is concerning that, not that you enjoy life when you're young, because you're not going to when you're old, but enjoy life when you're young. That's when it starts. Start enjoying a full life of enjoyment, but start early. Have God in your center, God in the center of your heart early. And the point being made in our text is that we should understand that not only do we live life in light of its finiteness and its shortness, its brevity in our fallen under the sun world, but we must live a life rejoicing in God from as early an age possible, keeping in mind that there is a slow and steady intrusion we call aging. Rejoice in your youth, in your youth. It conjures up minds maybe of a toddler or a preteen or a teenager. But it can refer to even a longer period of life. But the point is that from the moment we know Christ, that should mark the beginning of an entire life of joy. Not just God says, okay, I saved you, and it's okay now sometimes to have a little bit of fun or joy. It's all right, it's okay. No, God commands us. Rejoice in your youth. That's when it should start. I can honestly say, by the grace of God, he saved me. By the grace of God, he saved me when I was 27 years old. And I can honestly say, I've never been the same. Never been the same. I'm not saying I've arrived or anything like that. But just everything. Everything changes. And praise the Lord, I was 27. He's saying it should start as early as possible. This joy in God, this God-centered joy. It's a command. Not simply, it's okay, it's permitted. The psalmist of Psalm 71 recognized that his hope had been in God from his youth, and he wanted it to continue. The fear of God we get in our youth or whenever we come to Christ should continue in our old age. Listen to Psalm 71, verses 5 through 9. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. And then he says, do not cast me off in my time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. Verse 17 and 18 of Psalm 71. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your powers to all those who come. I'm sure most, if not all of us, are familiar with the New Testament command in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Notice that our joy is in the Lord. He's the source of it. He's the object of it. He not only gives me joy, but he gives me a joy in him. I find my joy in his wondrous works and in his very being. God is my joy. So the first point here is that he doesn't just give us permission to enjoy life, but God commands it, and it should start as early as possible. It should start in one's youth. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Notice the second thing. Joy comes from the heart and is experienced in one's walk. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Now notice what it says. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. Notice this joy comes from the heart. Let your heart make you joyful. Let your heart give you joy, the NIV says. Let your heart cheer you. But notice also, it's experienced in your walk. Let your heart cheer you, and then walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. Walk or follow in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. In other words, the joy that's on the inside makes its way out into the real world, into the day-by-day living your life. Our joyful hearts, we're supposed to have those, and we're supposed to have joyful expressions of our joyful hearts. This is certainly in New Covenant terms a work of God's Spirit in us. Remember Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Joy is the second one. The psalmist says, hey, serve the Lord with gladness. John the Baptist leaped with joy when he was in Elizabeth's womb at the sound of Mary's voice. We must remember God's kingdom is a kingdom of joy. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and of peace and of joy in the Holy Spirit. And we must remember as believers there will be eternal joy in his presence. Psalm 16, 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. One time Jesus compared the kingdom of God to a man who found a treasure in a field. You remember the story. The man didn't say, oh, that's a nice thing, this treasure in the field, and then go on his merry way. Jesus said he went away and sold all that he had to buy the field. But specifically, Jesus said, in his joy, he went away and sold all that he had. Because the treasure was so joyous, so much of a treasure. Let your heart cheer you. Our joy comes in our heart, moves out into our lives. Walk in the ways of your heart. Our joy motivates us, moves us. It changes the way we speak, changes the way we love, the way we serve others, the way we worship God. So God does not simply give us permission to enjoy life, but commands it, and it should start in one's youth, and joy comes from the heart and is experienced in one's walk. Number three, all these go together, joy must be within the bounds God has set for it. Because verse 9 continues, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. In other words, youth is a time in which you should walk in light of the truth that God is going to make you accountable for how you walk. He speaks of walking in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but cautions that in all these things, you're accountable to God. When it says here in verse number 9, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. The word know here speaks of knowing in such a way that it moves you in a healthy direction. It's not just know that you're going to be judged, but still go live a life of reckless youth. It means let this knowledge move you in a life of spiritual health. It's not know some facts, but these facts shape your behavior. And so the preacher is saying to the young man or the young woman that you must walk in the fear of the Lord even in your youth. Joy should be within the boundaries God has set for joy. And make no mistake about it, the joy should be rejoicing in the Lord, not in worldly pleasures of sin for a season. So he's not speaking here, rejoice in your youth and let your heart cheer you and walk in the ways of your heart. He's not saying live a careless life of pleasure in sin. Have a joy centered in God. We remember what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Joy must be within the boundaries God has set for it. Number four, even in youth, believers must not let life's hindrances rob them of joy in God. Verse number 10. Remove vexation from your heart, put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. So the young person here is told to put away vexation. I think the NIV uses the word anxiety and the King James uses the word sorrow. Put away vexation from the heart and pain, troubles, evil from the body. Understand the word vexation there is really speaking of frustration. Put away frustration. He's saying even from a young person, don't be frustrated with the things that the world can sometimes frustrate you with. You can get angry, grieve, just be irritated at things, people. And those frustrations can quickly rob us of our joy. Even little ones sometimes. Ever get frustrated with childproof medicine bottles that you can't get open? Never mind children, no one can get them open. You know, bang. I get frustrated with four-way stop signs. You get there and you forget whether you got there first or the other person. And he's waving you on and you're waving them on. And I always say, who made you the director of traffic? You know? I really get frustrated with endless reports of food that's bad for you. How you doing? I'm starving to death because I can't eat anything because it's all bad for me. He's saying rejoice, and he's saying remove these frustrations from your heart and put away pain from your body, troubles of your body, evils from the flesh. Speaks of both physical and moral problems that also can hinder a life of joy. And what he's really saying is, learn to handle these things in your youth. No, don't get so frustrated and let things rob you of your joy in God. In other words, with your whole being, inside, outside, enjoy your youth as you fear and submit to God and as you rejoice in God. And of course, this is for younger people, but the idea is it starts in youth. But no matter what age we are, we should not let these things rob us of joy. We should pray and seek to have our hearts set on the things above, on Jesus Christ. Set our hearts on the hope of his coming. Set our hearts on the greatness of his grace and mercy. Set our hearts on his exceedingly great and precious promises, on his very being. Let's be people who are amazed by the grace of God, people who have joy unspeakable in him. And to the young believer, he's saying here, though you live in a world that's frustrating, fallen, and finite, in your youth you should begin to joy in God and make the most of the time when you have strength in its fullness. And notice he closes verse number 10 with, For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Again, not meaningless, as the NIV translates it. But vanity simply meaning your youth flees. Your vigor, your robustness is very likely to progressively diminish. Point number five. God should be kept central in one's youth so that he will also be central in one's old age. God should be kept central in one's youth so that he will also be central in one's old age. This is the eight verses in chapter 12, the first eight verses of chapter 12. So the young person continues to address the youth, and he says in verse number 12, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come, before the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in these. Remember your Creator. Remember here is not just recall. Don't like everyone says, oh yeah, I remember. God's my Creator. Remember here means keep God in your heart and mind continually. And the particular emphasis here is before the evil days come. Start now so that you'll have it later. So that the days don't come and you say, I don't have any pleasure in these days. This is not an affront to old age. It's a way to say that old age has a particular set of problems and no one's really thrilled about them. The preacher has in mind here the decline that increasing age normally brings. Now, we might say something like, well, I'm 67 years old, but boy, in my mind, I still feel young. We might say that. But most of us probably aren't going to say, I'm 67 years old and feel physically just like I was when I was 20. No, I feel more like I'm 80 sometimes. Our bodies are under the curse. And the Apostle Paul points out, we greatly anticipate the redemption of our bodies yet to come. Romans 8, 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Old age is a season of life that can be blessed and wonderful, and one can be useful and joyful, but there is the reality that one does slow down, sometimes greatly, because one's body slows down. Paul recognizes this in himself in 2 Corinthians 4:16. We do not lose heart, he says. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. And by the way, that wasting away in 2 Corinthians 4:16 is translated perishing in the New King James, and the New American Standard says decaying. Our outer self is decaying. The point is, when one gets old, one feels it bodily. Paul recognizes his outer self, his body was feeling its age, but God was renewing him spiritually every single day. And here in Ecclesiastes 11, in chapter 12, the preacher is saying that the time to start to rejoice in the Lord and be renewed day by day and know God and walk with God and serve God and desire his kingdom is as soon as you can. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. since one should rejoice all of one's days, which is what the preacher said before he started this in chapter 11, verse 8, the implication is you start rejoicing in the younger days in order that your joy will still be there in the more difficult days of old age. Youth is the time to begin to rejoice in God. Youth's not a time to sow one's wild oats, to experiment with strange behaviors, to devote oneself to frivolous matters, to explore different ways to sin, to create a separate subculture with its own language and music. Youth is the time to begin to know and enjoy God. And so Solomon says here, remember your Creator before. So what's coming in verses 2 through 7 are what's coming for the youth. Now, verses 2 through 7 are very image type of verses pointing to something. And there's all kinds of figurative language here. And they've been understood in many different ways, and I'm not going to name them all. I'm not going to name any of them except the one I think it's saying. Okay, but understood, other people understand this differently. But here's what I think he's saying in verses 2 through 7. He says, remember your Creator in your youth before the progressive diminishing of life sets in. And I see this as Solomon using figurative language to describe that. And I say that because I think it fits the context better than any of the other understandings of this. Now, before you think what I'm going to say, some of you may have never heard this in this passage, before you think I'm crazy, okay, Old Testament scholar Walter Kaiser, really good man, evangelical, sound, biblical. The view I'm going to give you, he says, is he sees this as the most probable view. This pictures the progressive decay that's coming on our bodies. Images representing life's diminishing ways, the older years, which end in death. I don't think these verses should discourage us from growing old gracefully, but there is the reality that we're not going to take pleasure necessarily in these things. So, verse 2. And the key is, remember, before. Remember your Creator in your youth before. Before, verse 2, the sun and light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. I think that's a picture of our fading mental and physical abilities. Say, how you doing today? The brain's pretty cloudy today. The sunlight and moon inside are getting darker. I have a fading capacity to understand and enjoy life, and more there's more and more rain that seems to come, more and more clouds that seem to come. Sun's not as bright. Light doesn't last as long. Verse 2. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, probably referring to arms and legs, and you know what they're doing now as you get older? They're trembling. And of course, the strong men are bent. Arms and hands, I should have said, for the keepers of the house. Arms and hands tremble. The strong men are bent. That's your legs. Not as straight as they once were, as strong as they once were. And, of course, this one, pretty obvious. the grinders cease. Say, how come? Because you're losing them. Okay? This is before modern dentistry. Your teeth don't last forever. Those grinders don't work quite as well because they're few. And those who look through the windows are dimmed. That's your eyes and the fading vision that comes. And in Solomon's day, they didn't have, I don't think, cataract surgery. So the eyes are getting dim. Verse 4, and the doors of the on the street are shut. The sounding of the grinding is low. This is a hearing metaphor. Say, what's going on outside? I don't know. I can't hear a thing. Can't hear the grinding anymore. But in spite of that, one rises up at the sound of a bird. I can't hear anything, but I can't sleep real well, and I hear the birds wake me up. Nonetheless, in spite of that, all the daughters of song are brought low. How come everybody's singing softer than they used to? What's wrong with this TV volume? Why do I have to keep turning it up to hear it? Verse number 5, he kind of changes from the figurative. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way, being more frightened in old age. The fear of heights is intensified. The fear of being out in the world in general can be intensified in old age. The almond tree blossoms, turns white like one's hair. The grasshopper drags itself along. We have more difficulty in getting along. There's this halting gait that happens as one gets older. Desire fails. It's not this adventurous, willing spirit to enjoy all the new things in life. And all of this happens because we're headed someplace. Man is going to his eternal home. In other words, life in this under the sun world is coming to an end. You see what Solomon's saying? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before these things happen. So when these things happen, you can still have joy in your Creator. And notice at the end of verse number 5, the mourners go about the streets. The sadness and inevitability that's associated with the process of dying. The way, literally, it's the wailers go about outside. Verse 6, before, the NIV supplies, remember him. In other words, he's just kind of reminding us of what this is all about. Remember your Creator before, verse number 6. And now he kind of indicates the vital functions that slow down and stop and lead to death. Before the silver cord is snapped, perhaps the backbone or spinal column, the golden bowl is broken, our brains, the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, our hearts, the wheel is broken at the cistern. Perhaps that's talking about the arteries, veins, circulation decreasing. But the point is, all of these things are leading to verse number 7, death. And that's the important thing to remember about this. Whether we have the figures exactly right or not, he's saying, remember your Creator before these progressive things happen, before verse 7, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Death is pictured. Dust returning to the earth. Our bodies decaying back to the elements they're made of. The reversal of creation of Adam. The spirit returning to God who gave it. Physical death, ending our finite existence in this fallen world. And so that's why he says in verse number 8, not meaningless, all is meaningless, but vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Or in other words, we live in a cursed world where life is finite, life is limited, under the sun existence is coming to an end. And he's saying to young people, now's the time to know your Creator and remember your Creator. Now is the time to joy in him, so that when these things happen, you still have that joy in your life, in your heart. Okay, real quickly, let me give you some application. Number one, Christian youth, Christian young people say, what should they be doing? They should be growing in the knowledge of God with reverence, awe, and joy. They should be growing deeply and soundly. And this doesn't happen by entertaining them and watering down the gospel or dumbing down the truth. They should be focusing and thinking on their God and rejoicing in him. Christian young people can have a sober, serious Christian life and at the same time enjoy their Christian life. Number two, we who are older, that should be our heart's desire for Christian young people. Oh, that they would know God now. Oh, that they would take seriously their salvation. Oh, that we would take seriously the responsibility of encouraging them in their youth to live for Christ. And of course, Christian parents should be putting every effort into continually speaking the gospel into their children and living in the light of the gospel before their children. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And then number three, we must continue to rejoice in Christ into old age, until death parts us from this under the sun existence. We must not let the "I have no pleasure in these years" rule us and dominate us. Though our outer man perish, our inner man should be being renewed day by day by day by day, because of Jesus, because of this so great salvation that he's given us. We should desire to live life to as full an extent as we can until we can't anymore. And then number four, in light of this progressive downhill, in light of the fact that our bodies are going to return to the earth and to dust, as believers, we face death with confidence. Christ has removed death's sting. So that Paul can say that for him to live is Christ and to die is gain, and then express his desire to depart and be with Christ. Looking toward that ultimate goal of resurrection from the dead. That great eschatological hope, future hope we have. To be resurrected, to be like Christ, to live in his glorious, glorious kingdom. And let me just conclude by saying, if there's anyone here that's not saved, flee to Christ. Because the scriptures make it very clear that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then you will face judgment. Flee to Christ, who can forgive your sins and reconcile you to God by his great grace and mercy. Let's pray. Father, I am drawn to Ecclesiastes 11:8. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. And in light of that, I take these verses to say, start in your youth so that you can continue as physically our capacity diminishes. Help us continue. Each one of us, wherever we are in that place of life and phase of deterioration, Lord, help us to again each day. Be renewed by your grace through the gospel, by your word. Looking unto Jesus, setting our affections on things above. Thank you for this life in this under the sun existence, Lord, that even in a world that's fallen and finite because of Christ and because of grace, we can enjoy it, and we can enjoy you, and we can glory in you and worship you and praise you. Fill our hearts with thankfulness. Fill our hearts with joy. Fill our hearts with peace. Fill our hearts with hope, we pray. Bless us, Lord, we pray. As a body of believers, bless us. As individual Christians, bless us. And thank you so much that we can rejoice. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.